that I could buy just as cheap as he could, and they'd sell to me just as quick as they did to him, so I bought a little outfit of my own, set up a tent, and went to Neckend at the foot of the glacier. Well, what I wanted to get was that gold on the other side of the glacier. Now, I better describe Valdez. When I got up in the morning and looked out, it just looked like I was in a big pot. You've seen these big pots they put on the fire, big iron skillets. Well, the mountain, you couldn't see where we come in or where we was going out. The mountain, it is almost a circle. The bay was about 5 miles wide, long, and I'd say about 3 miles wide. There was probably that much land there, too, that was flat. But it just looked like a big pot. And from the water, the mountains just run almost straight up to I don't know how high, but way above timber. And that morning, it was cloudy high. You couldn't see the top of the mountain, so it looked like you was in a big pot and just couldn't see no top. That is all there was to it. Well, when the clouds cleared off, well, I could see the glacier, and I could see the timber ashore, but there it was, about half lake and half land, and just in a big pot all circled in. Now, of course, we come through what they call the narrows down at the glacier, and it was just real narrow there, and then we turned, but when you got in, you couldn't see out, so it just looked like you was in a big kettle. Well, anyhow, after I got to Neckend of the Glacier, of course, I bought stuff as I could and worked all I could and all the hours I could. And we was getting a dollar an hour. And so finally I bought me more outfit and a tent. And I was fixed up pretty good. And it must have been around a month that I had outfit enough that I figured I could go over the glacier. Well, there was all kinds of fellas going, all kinds of fellas coming. The one to going out was just discouraged to death, some of them even crying. You found men along the trail just actually crying because they'd give up. And they had all kinds of rigs. One man had 3 goats driving them. One had a little Shetland pony. And they had dogs. They just had everything. But most of them pulling by the neck. And lots of them quarreling, splitting their outfits. It was a mess, no fooling. But I started up the glacier, and all you could pull there was about 150 to 200 pound. And I don't think I had over about 500 altogether. Well, first day on the glacier, I was see a little knot of men to one side. They was every place. But this is a special knot kind of interested me. There seemed to be something wrong. And when I got pretty close, somebody said, "Here comes Slim. He can go down." Well, there I got my name again. I'd been called Slim ever since I can remember. And they kind of forgot it up there, but there it hooked on me again. And it stayed on me from then on. I was about 6'3", weighed about 160 pounds. But there was a bunch of 5 boys, and one of them had fell in the glacier. They'd stopped to eat a lunch, and one of them had backed into a crevice, and the ice snow gave away with him, and he fell in the crevice. He was down there, and he was talking, and was hurt, of course. He said he was hurt. He said he couldn't get up, and they'd tried to let a man down. He couldn't. So they let me down about 20 feet. Well, I had a lantern. I let that down as far as I could, but I couldn't see him. He said he could see the lantern. And we worked there trying to get that fellow out. There wasn't a chance because he had wedged it. He said he couldn't tie himself to a rope, that he couldn't use his hands. And so he must have been pretty badly bruised up. But as far down as they let me, it wasn't over a foot wide, I don't believe. Then it looked like it widened out below. It was about 3 foot wide at the top. But we finally give up one at a time, and I went on and come back that night, and there was a fella still, one of the boys still waiting there, and he had quit, the fella down in the crevice. He had told him that he wanted to go to sleep, that he was tired and wanted to go to sleep, and he was sleepy. Well, of course, when you go to sleep in a case like that, you just freeze to death. And of course, he done? Well, there was a lot of noise along the glacier. Not long before that, there had been five boys. I think they was from Montana. And they had got to quarreling. And the way I had it figured out, the way a lot of them had it figured out, this one fella had took his share of the outfit and moved it away. And there was just young fellas, but they was tough. And this fella wouldn't let the other fellas come to where he was. He had his share of the grub, it seemed, and that was all there was to it. Well, these fellas got to hollering, the other four, and said this fella stole from them. Well, stealing was a hanging offense there then. And they got a miners' meeting together. And I think the majority of people figured this kid that had the grub got the dirty deal. But nevertheless, they passed sentence on this fella and took him down the glacier and hang him. I've seen the tree lots of times that they hung him on. Well, there was a lot of rumpus. Along fellas grumbling, and some of these fellas wasn't liked very well, and it was quite a noise about hanging this fella. Well, anyhow, I went on about my business, and about 6 or 8 miles up the glacier, I camped on my side, and now there were just hundreds of fellas there. And there was another little tent just above me, and there was three dogs tied right around the tent. And the dogs seemed awful friendly, and I made my camp, and next morning I got up, and there was still no fire in the tent, and the dogs were still friendly, and I kind of wondered, I thought there must be something wrong, so I decided I'd go over and see what was the matter. So I went over and hollered hello, and a little squeaky voice come from in the inside. He says, "Come on in." Well, I opened the flap of the door and looked in, and there was a little fella under a bearskin robe all wrapped up. He had a mustache and a little goatee just as white as chalk, and he had a big smile on his face, and he says, "Come on in." He said, "I'm sick." And he said, "I've just not been able to get up for a couple of days." And so I went in and I started him a fire and fixed him up something to eat and cooked up some food and feed his dogs and got myself too late to go on down and get another load. And but he finally got out of bed when I got him something to eat. And I'll swear his legs wasn't bigger than my arms, a little bitty old dried up fella. He was from Boston, and he'd got sick. And he told me his whole story. He had done pretty well in life and just decided that he wanted adventure, and that's what he'd done. And he'd got those three dogs to pull his load, but he just decided it was a young man's country and not his. He'd had enough of adventure, and he wanted to go back out. And that if I would take him back down the glacier and get him on a boat, why, all he wanted was just his clothes he wore in, and so he could get on the boat and go out. Well, I couldn't do much of anything else. And there was three little dogs. Boy, I like that. Not quite an outfit. It was really twice the outfit that I had. Well, he said, "I've just got no use for it." I told him I just didn't have money enough to pay for it. Well, he said, "That's all right." He said, "You can just have it for taking me down." Well, sir, he had handlebars on his sled. Mine was just flat, most of them was. But he had rigged up handlebars on him. So I got him in his sled and his rabbit skin robe, and I hooked them little dogs up. They were single file, Brownie, Fat, and... oh, gee, I forgot the other. Well, anyhow, I think the two that is in the lead was Collie. It was part Collie, anyhow, and I always thought they was brothers. But Fat looked more like a bulldog, and he had a short tail. And, boy, he could wiggle that little short tail, though. Best-natured little dog you ever seen, Brownie. Well, anyhow, I'll think of a name and get him to you. But, I got those three dogs hooked up, and they started piking off down the trail. pretty good clip. 7-8 miles an hour, he had a brake on his sled, and those handlebars, gee, I was just doing fine. And I had him propped up, so he was seen to be enjoying himself. And, well, I got in sight of the bay, and sure enough, there was a boat in sight. Well, I'd got pretty well acquainted with the fellow that run this barge, and so when I got down there, I told him my story, and, well, he said, I'll see when I go out what I can do. And so he come back and he told me, he said, I can get him on this boat. So we got him right on that boat. And I stayed there that night in my old camp. And then I started back with my three dogs. Well, all we had to burn on the glacier was alder, green alder, some dry, but it was just bad as green because it was wet. And the glacier was about a mile wide, and about 30 miles up to the top of it, and it was, mountains run up from it, just almost straight up on both sides from that mile. Well, we had to cut that alder and burn it in our little Yukon stoves, but it was awful hard to get started, so I got a bright idea. And I cut 6 sticks of dry cottonwood. You know how that stuff burns. And it was about 6 inches through and about 7 feet long. And I stacked up upon the little sled. And you know, like the other, just don't weigh anything. And I went dangling off up that glacier with my little dogs. And, of course, they was fellas wanted wood. Well, they gave me $5 a stick for that wood. And when I got to camp, well, I'd sold 5 sticks and I had one left myself and made $25. Not bad. Well, then I went to freighting with my little dogs, and boy, there was 3 little honeys, and I had 2 sleds and 2 tents and enough outfit, I figured, to last me close to a year. And boy, I was just making good time up that glacier. Well, about halfway up, I figures about 12, 15 miles up, the glacier run way to the left side and then turned and come back. Well, it is real steep and not over 100 yards from where it turned across the glacier to where it come back. You just made that trip over there about a mile and about a mile back. Well, I'd made that trip the day before and both ways, and next day as I was making it, well, I sized that place up. Now, I said, why the devil can't I just go right straight down there? It's too steep to pull up, but you could go down it. And I thought, now, I'll just do that. And so I cashed my load and started back. And when I come to that little place, I hollered haw to my leader, and he started down. Well, I got along fine till I got about, oh, not over 30 feet from the trail. I could see other fellas down there. It was all along everybody. And something happened. The ice gave away right from under me. And I went down right between my runners. And the G-pole caught on the other side, and my runners' handlebars, runners went through, but my handlebars caught on the other side of the crevice, and I went through. Well, I hit on the other side of the glacier and knocked all the